Good morning. As I figure out how to work this, we'll get started. Morning. It's nice to see everybody here this morning. Ron said we are going to do some interactive exercises, two of them. And so you'll hear from Jennifer and I for a little while, and then we'll break you into a group, then we'll take a look at what we get for results. Then we will do another a little more listening, and then we'll do another exercise. One of the things is this, people, when we first get into the using the QI tools in public health, a lot of people are familiar with the PDCA cycle, the plan, do, check, act cycle. And there are some basic tools and quality that we use in those, like flow charting, cause and effect diagrams, things like that. And then there was this whole set of advanced tools, because when Dr. Deming was in Japan after World War II, one of the things he did was he developed tools for the working people down on the factory floor, which were called the general tools of quality, the basic tools of quality. And it was always referred to as the seven basic tools of quality. And the reason that came about was seven was in Japan, they were called samurai teams on the factory floors. And every samurai warrior has seven weapons. And they came up with seven tools. And then as they began to develop samurai management teams, they had to have their own separate seven weapons. So they developed the seven management and planning tools, which is what these are for really large cross-functional issues. You know, the tools were the affinity diagram, ID graph, prioritization matrix, tree diagram, project planning, smart charts, a lot of different tools people could use to take very large issues and bring them down to very small manageable tasks that they could then implement. So out of this, as you go through the process, you'll see we're going to focus on a large issue today is what are the challenges facing public health in 2011. And last night I tried to do it in my room and I only could come up with one. You know, so maybe today we'll come up with a couple of other challenges. Maybe there's more than one out there for next year. And then as we look at how do we take that large issue and explore it? And one of the things we do is we use an affinity diagramming process, which would be one of the tools we'll use today. Then what we want to do is once we have all of these issues up there and we get them classified into themes, how do we know which ones to focus on? So we'll use the ID graph and prioritize it and bring it down into the manageable issues that we want to really focus on. And then from there, the other tools we can do is we can do a baseline of the data. We can look at a radar chart. We can develop action and tasks. In the session that follows on after this, in another room, we're going to actually take those issues and do a tree diagram and bring them down into tasks that we can then really move forward and have a solution to the problems. So this is very similar to the plan, do, check, act cycle, except it uses different tools and they're more advanced in this case. They're used for large issues, whereas we usually implement PDCA, it's on really project-specific focus issues that we move forward with. And the idea with the advanced tools is what happens is you start with a large issue. Every tool you use helps you to really refine it. You get more insight. As you start with a very large issue, you bring it to the first level with the affinity diagram, people begin to see themes emerge that they didn't think of. Then what happens is we use another tool, and again, it refines it more. And we constantly keep bringing the issue down till we get to a point where we have some really manageable tasks that we can then implement. So this is really the thing we want to come up with, is a clear action plan to focus on. And usually what happens is, you know, for every complex question, there's a simple answer, and it's usually wrong. You know, so what you find is when people come to these sessions to focus on these, they bring with them a solution. You know, I know everybody has a solution. And I find it every time I do a problem-solving team, somebody comes in, and before we even start the session, they go, I know the answer. You know, and they put up their issues problem. They've been looking for this solution. It's going to fit a problem someday. We're not just sure where it is, but it's going to fit someday, and we keep trying it. So every time we think we have the answer, it's simple, it's usually wrong. So again, really what we want to focus on is when we're confronted with complex community health or organizational issues, it works very well for these, lots of information quickly that we have to analyze, this is a good way to use these tools. And what it does is synthesize the information. It helps people look at it from many different perspectives, and it will help you guide you in the process. Now, one of the things we need to think about is as we're doing these tools, is that people have thinking styles. Thank you. And one of the things you think about is some people think out here, panoramic lighting. Some people think down here, the decay. Some people live in the past, and some people live in the future. And what happens in this case is that if you're in the panoramic future, you're always looking and thinking about a vision. You're looking out there and you're saying, here's a vision. You're always looking at that. If you're in the past, in the panoramic, you'll always come up with the past visions. And usually what happens is when people talk about the past visions, they talk about why it didn't work. And then we have people down here in the past with the details in this case, and these people usually talk about, you know, why it did not work. And then what happens is with the QI tools that we're using today is we want to focus on here, future, and the details, because we all know that's the devil is in the details. So that's what we're going to focus on today. The nice thing about the affinity process and all the other tools that are associated with it is it takes all of this type of thinking and brings it all together. And themes emerge, whether you're a futurist, past person, detail person, it brings it all together and helps us find the themes that we want to focus on. So again, we talked about this. Continually synthesizes the information, refines the issue and refocuses as we move along in the process, identifies the critical pieces and helps us narrow the scope, and identifies the approach to success in this case as we move forward. And what you happen is you do these tools, we'll explain today ways to do them. And you need to take the time to do each tool right, because if you do the affinity diagram quickly and you don't put a lot of thought into it and you have one word cards that nobody can remember what they meant later on, you have to go back and do it over, because the next tool, when you start to do it, you start asking questions in this case. So we need to make good decisions at each step, because good decisions cause other good decisions to happen. And again, as we finish in the end, we have results that are alignable, and that's the big point we want to get to. Things that are alignable, in this case, help us build accountability and performance into the system. So again, this is the process that we're going to follow. We're going to start off with our large issue and really explore it using the affinity diagram. So again, we're going to focus on what are the challenges facing public health organizations in 2011. And we're going to use the affinity diagram to start with. Now, just to give you some ideas about the affinity diagram, a little past history, it was invented by the Japanese person, Jiro Kawataka, and he was a Japanese anthropologist. And what he did is when he came back from his anthropology work in the field, he would have everything on 3x5 cards. And he used to lay them out on his desk, and then he started rearranging them so that he could see patterns and themes. And then 3M invented the post-it note, and they came together, and we have the affinity diagram in this case. So it's a good way to really assimilate a lot of information from a lot of different people and synthesize it. And again, what we want to try to do is draw out common themes from this type of thinking that we have as a group, whether it's past, future, in the details, draw out the common themes, and get people to discover. And the other thing we usually find as we're doing this is whether in the past, the future, or the details, there's a lot of common linkages. And we get through that using all of these tools, we find those hidden linkages in this case. Again, it partners very well with brainstorming, and we want to get a large number of ideas in this case. Provides the opportunity to be very creative and identify categories of team observations and inputs in this case. Overcomes team paralysis, because you have to do this. You do this standing up. It's not a sit-down exercise. We get up, we actually put things up on the wall. We stick post-it notes up. We move them around. My past job I had before I retired for a while, I used to have a conference room with no chairs in it. And when people came in, we used these tools. Couldn't sit down. I find when people sit down, they stop thinking. When you stand up, you think. You know, because your legs get tired and you want to move on, you make decisions quicker, and things go quickly, you know. And the longer you have to stand, the longer it takes. So again, how to do this? First thing is we want to develop a very clear purpose, problem, concern, and we've done that. You know, we're talking about what are the challenges public health organizations are going to face in 2011. Again, it's a very broad statement. You want to keep this very broad. You don't want to have a statement that suggests any solutions as you're moving forward. Again, what we need is 3x5 cards, which we have tons of here. We have some marking pens, and we have a fairly large working surface here that we can use.
Again, the way we set up the area is we have a focus statement, and one of the things that comes in every once in a while is people have new ideas as we move the process forward. So we'll talk about that new idea area as we move forward. So the first step would be, as we get you into your groups, will be to do some individual silent brainstorming. And we'll give you some post-it notes. Write one idea per post-it note. Make it a complete sentence so it's understandable. Record each idea, as it said here, with a pen, you know, complete statement. And we really write positive statements, you know. Why do we feel is a, you know, what are the problems associated and challenges public health is going to face in 2011? We'll write them out. Then what we want to do is we will then begin to post the ideas. And what you do as a participant is we'll give each of you a work area. You know, you go over and say, one of the challenges I feel facing public health in 2011 is this. And then now the idea is to, when you're putting the ideas up, is to separate them up. And a lot of people like to, and when they put them up, just put them all right together. These are all my ideas. These are going to be the ones we use, so I'll put them down here. You know, so keep my ideas right here. Spread them out. So when you usually do it is, you know, give enough space, walk down the wall, and stick them out, and spread them out in the same. And we want to get them posted. And at that point, when it goes up, somebody in the group can ask for clarification. It's not a debate. They'll say, what did you mean by that? I didn't quite catch what you said. Very quickly, we move through it. So each card, you post it, you say what it is. People can ask for clarification, and then do the next card and so forth, and we do it very quickly. No debate, just clarification. And don't place the cards in any order, because some people already come up, you know, with that solution in mind. I'm going to set it so it looks like the solution is going to fall out. Use the whole wall, the whole space that's available to you. After all the ideas are posted, we go into a thing called silent consensus. And this is really, you're quiet, no talking. And what we do is we go up to the board, the area we have, all the ideas are there, and silently we start moving them into patterns that we see as an individual. And we really mean quiet in this case, because one of the things, you know, if you're doing this, probably won't happen here because we do it in an organization sometimes. You know, you have the bosses there, you know, they know the answer. So they're the bull. They're going to put everything in their right places. They move everything around. Everybody thinks, well, that must be the right place. And then what happens is, you know, we all clam up. So what we try to do is by doing it silently, it overcomes that. But unfortunately, even when we do this silently, we still develop a way to do it. Tall people will stick the ideas up very high. So the shy people can't get to them. Shy people will stick them down low, so the people, tall people have to bend over, it hurts their back. You will also find that, you know, some people will come up like this, you know, that idea isn't moving. You know, they put their hand on it. Some people will take their ideas and pull them, because once the group's done, I'll go put my ideas in there. You'll find you'll be doing something and, you know, two people grab the idea, you move it over here, I move it back, you move it over there, I move it back. You know, sometimes we see this, people rip it in half, you know, take half over there, half over here. The best thing to do when that's happening is write it and post it out because it probably fits in both areas in this case. So, we want you to be silent. Ron and I had a chance a couple of years ago to do this with the National Library of Medicine. All librarians. I figured for once in my life, I'll have quiet, silent consensus. We couldn't shut them up. What if it happened to that in the library? You know, shh. Didn't work. So we try to keep it quiet. And what you'll find is that things will move, and then all of a sudden, things will stop moving. We've done this where we've had 100 ideas on the wall, and what happens is it's like a sea of yellow notes. The tide will go that way, then the tide will go this way, and then it'll start to break out. All of a sudden, it just starts to happen. It's magic. I'm always surprised every time when it happens. So try not to do any talking. Make sure the ideas are related together in some way. And we repeat until all the groups are done. Now, every once in a while, you get one. You know, we get all the groupings done, and there's one that sort of sticks out over here. It doesn't fit anywhere. Well, we just leave it out there. At some point, we may use it later on, but right now, it just doesn't fit there. And, you know, it's okay to move a note somebody else has already moved, and if it belongs in two groups, make a second note in this case. So we sort of talked about this, you know, great minds do think alike, so duplicate ideas, make sure you make a new note and don't fight over it.
again, this is some of the things people do, you know, they block each other. We talked about that. Move all the cards away, form your own group down the end. I call that the only child syndrome. And you take all my stuff and I go down here. I'm not going to share with anybody. Put the cards in the hands and don't post it. Now, new ideas, as you're going through this, every once in a while you think about it as a group and you say, gee, I got a new idea. Just thought of it. So make a little spot and tell everybody when you start this exercise, we usually do it on flip chart paper, here's where the new idea goes. Put it in there, let everybody see it. If nobody moves it in a few minutes, you feel free to move it where you want it to go. Then after you get the chart done, we then go into talking. People do the clarification step. Is there any surprising patterns? How things broke out? Any reason for some notes sticking out here? It might be controversial, didn't get moved in. Might make a few more changes, discuss any loners. And then what we want to do is select a heading for the group. So in each group, as we look at the group of ideas, what is that telling us? What's the theme of that group? So what we want to do is write a header card on the top of the thing that says, for this group of ideas, it means this to us as a group. Full sentence so we understand it. So all the cards underneath it support what that theme is. Sometimes you'll find within the cards that are all there, the theme is right there, and you can just pull the card out in this case. So we usually highlight it in a different color, and we want to get somewhere around 6 to 10 headers when we do the process. And take time to do this step well. Make sure the header card is very clear, because when you go to the next step, if it isn't, you got to go back and do it and make it clear in this case. So this will be our affinity diagram example. And Jennifer, you were going to...
So actually, one of the things that Jack just said that resonated with me is that you can't take too much time to do this. It's not a process that you want to rush. And I actually, last week, had the pleasure of being in a meeting where we did an affinity diagram for the full day. And it was some strategic visioning. And there was a point in the middle of the day where everybody was just like, oh, yes, we're fine with that. We're okay with that. You know, but we had to take a break and come back to it. And actually, knowing that I was going to do this session, took a couple pictures. So, and then cut down my little iPhone. Don't look at all the pictures on my cat, if you would. But you can take a look at the board that we did. As Ron mentioned, the organization that I work for, the National Network of Public Health Institutes, manages a Robert Wood Johnson Foundation project called the Multi-State Learning Collaborative, in which 16 states are funded to prepare for accreditation and to implement quality improvement. The project has been ongoing for about, we are in our fifth year right now. And the way that the states are implementing quality improvement is that they are bringing health departments together in collaboratives to work on specific target areas related to public health outcomes or public health capacity. So in some states, the collaborative of health departments that come together, there are 60 plus. In some states, a collaborative consists of three. So the model is widely varied in how they come together and work on quality improvement. But the issues they're addressing are things like how to reduce risk factors that predispose someone to chronic disease, how to build a quality health improvement plan, how to reduce infant mortality. So some seriously complex issues. And so the majority of health departments that have been involved in this project did use affinity diagrams at some point to help them really drill down into specific tasks that they could work on in these broad, complex issues. So I'm just going to give you a couple of examples, actually three examples from Washington State, who has participated in this project since the beginning. And the first is from a county called Island County that was looking at increasing the percentage of teenagers that were in grades 9 through 12 who engage in physical activity 20 minutes three times a week. And so they did some brainstorming around what can they do to improve physical activity and the frequency with which teens are engaging in physical activity. And they came up with sort of five areas that they were able to group their post-it notes into and their ideas into. And those included developing a new program to support physical activity, developing, trying to fund and develop new recreational facilities. Perhaps social marketing might help as well. So they came up with some potential solutions for increasing physical activity. Another county, Skagit County, was looking at specifically a particular hospital, Skagit Valley Hospital, and looking at why employees didn't meet physical activity recommendations. So why didn't they engage in 30 minutes of physical activity 5 days a week or more? So they had already identified sort of their problem is that, we know that folks aren't engaging in physical activity, but we want to look at the why. So they really wanted to get at the root cause before they developed their full quality improvement project to better understand. And so their brainstorming came up with some categories around looking at why. And once they had those why, then they were able to sort of put a program in place to address those. And then finally, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but Catoosa County wanted to increase the uptake of recommended vaccines given to teens 13 to 18 years old. And so as they thought about their ideas, they came up with a few reasons why doctors aren't vaccinating, why teens aren't getting vaccinated, and what might be some of the barriers toward vaccination. So those are just a few of examples of how an affinity diagram can be practically used to help focus your efforts. And now we are going to go ahead and do our first exercise where you all are going to get to do an affinity diagram. So what we're going to do is break out into three groups of about, do you want to do four? Okay, great. You were counting and I wasn't. So we're going to break out into four groups of about 10 people each. And I think, this front group, if you all could sort of move to this area up here, and the back group will be in that corner, a third group over in that corner, and a fourth group up here towards the front. So rather than count off, if you can just choose which group you want to go in. Great. Do you need help passing these out?
I think 3H will work.
Okay. Okay. So if you remember, the issue that we are looking at today is what are the challenges public health organizations face in 2011? There should be no shortage of ideas on that topic, I imagine. So what we're going to do is we're going to be handing out some Post-it notes, and we'd like to ask that each individual in the group write down on your Post-it note three ideas. What are the challenges public health organizations face in 2011? One idea per piece of sticky note, and come up with three. So each individual will write down three ideas on three separate sticky notes.
So it could be anything, like it could be structural or?
It can be anything.
Thank you.
Everybody got their top three ideas? Okay, so what we want to do now is pick the top three of your ideas, and then this group can use this wall over here. That group can use this wall. And then, how are you going to do the other one?
You guys are going to be a little bit crunched, unfortunately. Well, this group will use this wall, and somebody can stand up and read your cards. This group can use that wall. The organizing process will be a little bit tough because of the chairs. Normally, there wouldn't be chairs around, but you'll make it.
Any moves and chairs?
Well, the chairs are tough to move. They're all connected.
Ah.
They come apart.
So
why don't this group will get started? For somebody start posting your ideas. Then with this group, this is go. One person come up. And when we post your ideas, you want to let the other group know. People in the group know what it is. So. Somebody start, you want to read your idea.
Just might have a little more room.
Yeah, one person at a time. Hold it, one person. Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah. Affordable health care funding opportunities are coming quickly. State funding cuts, loss of public health workforce, lower
staff. Understanding the details in the health reform bill. Bridges hospital quality improvement level practice. Obesity related chronic health.
Anybody have any questions as people put them up? Just ask them. Go ahead, sorry.
Improvements in health care reform. She's actually taking the lead on our coping with the new political environment and funding challenges.
Be physical if you have to. Push your way ahead. Don't be left out. Don't let somebody else do the work for you.
Thank you. 18 or 4 is the lower level, lack of controls in the general ice cream area.
There are either people in the community that contribute to it.
So we sort of get to the point where things stop moving. What I want to do now is, what do you think you would say for a header? For a header, what would be a
financial constraints around funding here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not just funding, but it's also the ability
causes of
I don't know either. Yeah. Jennifer might know. About 5 minutes. Well, we gotta.
That's a lot.
Okay.
We're not doing the flag.
Yeah, they're gonna do the ID. About 5 minutes. Yeah.
Thank you. what the spatiality trend is in our city.
So we've got a couple more minutes to finish up.
Yeah, that's
session right now, so if you just sit down for a minute, then we're going to get right back to work again. Stay with your team, because we're going to use the same group. Okay, what we want to do is just get a quick review from each team, what they came up with their main header cards. Now, for this group right here, they came up with financial constraints or uncertain funding, changing political climate, addressing obesity, healthcare reform and implementation, public health improvement, and access to care. How about one of the other ones? You got any overlaps?
Okay. Collaboration models / cooperation, funding efficiencies, working with diverse populations, workforce development, and political uncertainty.
There was one on data. There was a group sort of on data issues that didn't get named.
Data something.
Data something.
And what I was explaining to another group was that normally you work through the whole process to be sure that you have all the head cards. Because this is an exercise, we're cutting it a little bit short, but you would have worked that through and come up with something.
How about that one, Jennifer?
We've got workforce issues, communication with the community, communicating with policymakers, limited resources, social disparities, and quality improvement, monitoring, and evaluation.
And this group has community partnerships, interdisciplinary medical care, workforce issues, accreditation challenges, high demand for affordable services, public engagement, competing priorities, and lack of funding.
Okay. Popular one. Now, one of the things to do this, you know, in real life, is come up with the issue and then give people a stack of post-it notes. You know, you figure out in a group, it's usually good to have about 10 to 12 people as part of the team to do an affinity diagram. 8 is a good number too, you know, 8 to 12. Give people, come up with the issue statement, give people a thing of post-it notes, and then meet a couple of days later. people need time to think about it. I mean, here we're sort of rushing you through the process, but you give people a thing and post-it notes. I know I've been in many groups, you know, and you wake up in the middle of the night, keep the post-it notes on the nightstand because you have a great idea. Unfortunately, I never can read them in the morning because it was such a great idea. But you think about them, you know, over the course of a few days, really that brainstorming in your mind, you get a lot of good ideas, and the issue becomes more clear. And then when you get the group together, you know, you may have 100 post-it notes up on the wall, maybe 150. And it takes some time, you know, to go through and do the sorting and come up with the headers. And usually you come up with somewhere between 8 to 10 header cards in the process. And then the next step is what we're going to go into is how to synthesize that into where we should focus. Yeah, right. It's when it's really specific, you can use the 7 basic tools and go right down towards what you want to do as a solution. If it's more an organizational issue, a theme, a type thing you want to attack, this is when you would use this process. Okay. So now what we want to do is to show you how could you now begin to, do you have something, Ryan? No, okay. How can you begin to prioritize where to focus your efforts on? And there's a process called an interrelationship digraph. And what it is sometimes called a relationships diagram, but it's really a process to find the critical issues and not the reaction to the symptoms. And again, you know, we talk about things like easy to find remedies to symptoms, you know, too much overtime, reduce the overtime. You know, and you can see all the things, work harder, work faster, work smarter. But do we have the right workforce composition might be really the thing that we really want to focus on. Instead of one item following another in sequence, we look at this as a system and how is it connected, and that's part of the process of the ID graph. We try to find all the relevant connections. Now, many of these may not be connected, might be just pieces of the system, but we try to find those pieces that are connected. And usually the ones with the most connections are the ones we want to focus on. And why do we really want to do that? Because it makes it easy to pick out the factors in a situation which are driving the other ones forward in the system. So we want to find out that process. So what we do in this case is we use the header cards from the affinity diagram. So in this case, what we want you to do is just pick 4. So let me just randomly pick 4 of these. And then we So for this team, they would look at these 4. Now there's no particular order that we want to put them in. What we want to see is how are these things connected? And we want to do is go through a pairwise comparison process and see which cards influence each other. So we would ask ourselves in this case, does healthcare reform and implementation drive the access to care, or does access to care drive healthcare reform and regulation? So those would be the questions we want to ask. And then we would draw an arrow from the one that's causing the other one with a header. So again, there's arrows, and we can only use one-way arrows. Ron has a whole quiver of two-way arrows, but I never let him use them. But what we want to do is just have the arrow, the one that drives it. So the first step you would ask yourself in this case is, does healthcare reform and implementation and access to care, is there a relationship? So you would say, if there is, we would draw an arrow, draw a line. So there is a relationship. Now what we have to consider in this case is, which way is the relationship? So in this case, which one causes the other? Does healthcare reform and implementation drive access to care? Or does access to care drive healthcare reform and implementation?
Access to care drives healthcare
reform. So you'd say healthcare reform drives access to care.
Okay.
Access to care drives healthcare reform. So we would show this.
Wait. Well, talking about politically.
No, we're not talking politically.
Or are you talking about?
Paul, we're talking about an example. Let me just move on because we're running out of time. Running out of time. Save the debate for later. So in this case, in this team, they would have said access to care drives healthcare reform and implementation. Whether you agree with them or not is moot at this point. But it's happening, okay, for this team. You can debate this afterwards. So we say yes or no. And then we would go to the next card and we would say, which one drives the next one? But the other thing we want to ask in this case is, how strong is that relationship? As you can see in the bottom, is this a one, is it a weak relationship? Is it a five, a medium relationship, or is it 10, a very strong relationship? So how do you feel? Weak, medium, or strong, the relationship between access to care and healthcare reform? Strong. So we would give it a 10. So in this case, we would then go to the next one. We'd say healthcare reform and implementation and the changing political climate. Are they related? Then we would take the changing political climate and financial constraints. So that every card is compared to each other in this process as we go through it. And we give them a strength of a relationship. Because what we want to do in this case is to, as it was shown here in this one, you know, they went through and looked at all the different relationships and came up with the number in and number of out arrows. So here's another one in this case where we went through and it was affecting alignment of statewide resources. And again, you can see that we started with advocacies that demand change, compared them to every other card. Everything went out in this case. So that was a driver of the whole system. And then we looked at another one in this case and everything came into it. And then all out are drivers or root causes, and all in are bottlenecks, really clog the system. And then we can add this other dimension, which we talked about, the strength and the weaknesses. So in this case, as we begin to see it, we've now looked at that one, and we've compared all of them. The first one, advocacies, demand change. Everything goes out. And we can see in this case that we have strengths of relationship as well as direction. Same with this one. Now, this is what it usually looks like when you do it. It's very messy. We usually have somebody doing it off to the side, because when you have 10 by 10, you can't do all the lines on here because you never remember where they went. So we usually capture a little matrix like this, and we begin to look at how do each one compare to each other. And then at the end, what we want to have is the number in and the number of out arrows and the strength. So usually what you find in most cases, and I've done this for a long time, is that the highest strength usually has the most out arrows. And in that case, that's usually the place you want to focus. But the other thing you may find from time to time is a high strength with a lot of in arrows. It's a bottleneck. So you want to think ahead, as since this is a system that is aligned, is that if I put a lot of pressure at this end of the system, there's a bottleneck down here that everything's going to come into, so I better have something down here to start working on that, so when everything comes in, we can begin to move that forward in the process. So really, it's a process to figure out what's the most critical issue in this case. Now really, the big thing that happens in both the affinity diagram and the ID graph, which we never capture, is the discussion. When we make a decision such as this, you know, Paul and whoever was on this side, there would have been a rich discussion for probably a half a day to decide which way this arrow goes. You know, and then what you would decide, what's the strength? Because what happens is everybody brings a piece of knowledge to this process, and we begin to discuss it. So when we make this one connection, it's usually a lot of discussion, and people have a chance to really learn from everybody else in the process about their experiences. So we're going to use the same teams again, and what we want you to do is pick four issues, go through and do the drawing here, we won't try the matrix, put the strength, and then what you want to do under each one of these is come up with a little box that says the number of in arrows, the number of out, and then the strength. And then we'll see which one comes out to be the one you should really focus on in this case. Oh, good. Pre-selection. Maybe you can do it for this group, too. Yep, I did it, but they don't have to take my volume. So get back in your groups and go through and do the out arrows. And give you a chance to try this.
Challenges of 2011. Right.
So we need to look at forces that affect each other in 2011.
11.
Okay.
It could also go beyond two.
Yeah.
So again, you can look back at your.
Which would flip the year.
Yeah.
Right. So we were looking at it past versus
future. Right.
Yeah.
The other thing is look back at what you put under your tuition decision. Give somebody a pen to draw the arrows. Okay. So if you want to reverse that, that's fine.
I think it would have to be reversed in that case. Would everybody agree with that?
For 2011.
For 2011. Maybe we should put 2011 up here. That will help me stay in the future. So, I don't know if we can make that into a circle. So then, where do you want to go next? Do you want to look at the relationship between access to care and financial constraints next? Okay, so we know there, I would say there's a relationship. Would you guys say there's a relationship? Okay. So which one drives which one? I have my idea of it. That's what I think too, because I think that's why we have access to care issues. So everybody's okay with this? Okay. So which one do you want to look at next? Do you want to look at access to care in relationship to the changing political environment? Is there a relationship? I think so.
There could be. Yes.
And
yeah, I think so.
Well, we do think there's a relationship, right?
Could we?
Well, I would say so.
I know in our state, with state budget cuts, if they cut the budget, access to health care goes down in our state. So we know there's a relationship. Which way does the arrow go? This way? Driving toward. Isn't that interesting?
But it goes back to what you're saying.
So we've kind of got this one linked up with everybody else. Do we want to go here next? So is there a relationship between health care reform and the changing political environment? And which way does that arrow drive? And it just drives this way, right?
Yeah. Sure.
In 2011.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if we look at the past, it drives the other way. Very interesting. So how about healthcare reform and financial constraints? If it stays, there might be less financial constraints. I don't know. So going this way? Does everybody agree with that? Anybody disagree? It's a permanent marker. Okay, so I'm going to make
an exercise.
Make relationship this way?
Okay. So the other thing is think about the strengths. Okay. You know, this will change your political climate.
Okay. So, should we go back and do the strengths then?
We just have one more arrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, is changing political climate and financial constraints related? I'm seeing it down in the back. Okay. So what is the strength of the relationship between changing political environment and financial constraints?
Strong.
I have a 10. Okay. So what is changing political climate and healthcare reform?
10.
Okay. So what is financial constraints on healthcare reform? 5 maybe? I'm hearing that less strong. Everybody agree with 5?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about financial constraints and access to care?
Yeah.
Oh, we have a box. Changing political and access to care is 10, and financial constraints on health care reform.
It's not magnified.
Okay.
So you compare
necessary. So now what you want to do is say, healthcare reform.
Everyone
else.
Okay. So healthcare reform has.
You can change the rules from the clinic.
We have.
So what about the only thing?
One, two ins and one out.
No, strength.
I think it's all, I think it's cumulative, just all the errors.
No, he's wrong.
Well, she thought this was an in, yeah. So access to care, we have two in, three in, zero out, and the total value?
30.
And over here, how many in?
None. Oh, one in, right.
One in, how many out?
Two.
And the strength?
Political climate is a big driver.
Mm-hmm.
Access to care. Everything comes in there. We worked on healthcare reform, so the next one, and then financial constraints. These words are pretty fast. What you find is when you have a lot of Pentecost, you know, we just did this, the truncated, because the score is really spread out. You'll get, get something like 79 score, and then you'll see 50s, 30s, and then it goes down.
We had picked something else.
Right. We've done them all together. But we just wanted you to get the idea.
These are all very emotional issues for the time that we're in.
So in this case, we'd say the political climate is, changing political climate is definitely the driver, and access to care is the bottleneck.
It's all coming in.
It's all coming into that.
Right, so really what happened in these two is really not defined what happens down here. You know, in public health people, you'd have to be thinking ahead to say, you know, what's the model? Well, we know in January, this will really heat up by March or April. This will be heating up. You know, it's going to be one of those things. You're going to keep your eyes on the border to say, what will this look like? And it's probably going to be constantly in flux until I figure out how to work together if they have to do that. So maybe it's 2012.
As public health people, we need to keep an eye on this one.
And the thing you need to think about in this process, too, is where do you have any PA have influence, state legislature, federal legislature, but where do you have control that you can really make change?
For allocation, if there's financial constraints, how do you allocate what you have?
Right. Mm-hmm. Where do you allocate it to? Do you focus it more this way?
Or what about?
I've changed from doing more with less to doing lots of
less. Probably.
I decided I've done as much as I can with what I have. Now if they take money away, I can just do less.
Bringing in partners.
We want to do the number for establishing partnerships.
Okay, why don't we get back together again? Say, Paul, can you explain that one? Can you explain that one?
Okay.
Okay. Hold on, we're going to start and just go quickly around and just show what we came up with. I know one of the things that I saw in a couple of groups that you're thinking about was when you started doing the ID process, the affinity header header card was not that clear. You know, that's the time to go back and make it clear. You know, you got to go back, look at the cards. What did we really mean to say by that? So it's a constant process of refinement. Okay, Paul, can you give us a quick overview?
Okay, the four issues that were put on here were collaboration models and cooperation, funding and efficiencies, workforce development, and working with diverse populations. And as, did I just do the summary?
Yeah.
At the in out, the only one that had a majority out, the main, the big sort of source or driver, surprise, surprise, was funding and efficiency. With zero in, three out, and a strength of 20. The other one with a strength of 20 was collaboration models and cooperation, had two in and one out. Working with diverse populations, all three arrows were going in, so that's a potential bottleneck. And 16 was the strength, and workforce development, also a potential bottleneck. Three in, zero out, and 16 strength.
Thank you. One thing you find sometimes, too, is you'll get something that's a real driver, but it has a very low score. And it's just one of those things that sort of influences everything but doesn't really do much to the system. It sort of connects it, so you don't really focus on it. In this group over here, we were very surprised the changing political climate came out to be the big driver. And that drove healthcare reform and implementation. And then down here, we had one where everything came into was access to care. And you know, one of the things to think of is when you're doing this and you're going to pick one of these to work on is where do you have control and where do you have influence? You know, so like the political climate, healthcare reform and implementation, you have influence. You know, on your funding and your access to care, you have more control, and that may be where you want to focus. Ryan, you got one back there?
Oh, I haven't had one of these yet.
Have them good.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think, I mean, we made some progress, but we didn't even complete the exercise.
Right. Yeah. And if you're doing that in real life and you're struggling, go back to the affinity diagram and make them clearer. You know, look at what's in there. Because a lot of times people never learn it until they do it a couple of times. You know, you get the ID graph and you can't go any farther. You need to go back. So you need to really spend the time on the affinity diagram, making it very clear as to what the themes are that you come up with. Everyone over here?
We also can get that file.
Okay.
But we had limited resources going out to QI and social disparities, and then we had communicating with policymakers, feeding into the clinical resources. And then we had a relationship between QI and communicating with policymakers, very strong relationship. And the communication feeding into the limited resources and also the social disparities.
Thank you. Usually that's when you have to go out and gather some data. I've had it happen many times. And what happens is you have very diverse opinions and, you know, the arrow is going to be have a head on each end. Is that's when people have to go out and collect some data. And, you know, some of the issues we have here are kind of very broad because of the way we did it today very quickly. But when you're really focusing in on a very particular issue within your organization, you'll find there's a lot of strong disagreements on things, a lot of conversations. So what you need to do is go out and gather some data. And a lot of times that requires people to go out into the organization, maybe do some surveys, maybe go ask people. But actually, that's a key part of getting the clarity of the knowledge of everybody is this is the exact situation we have today. So gathering some data. If you do come to a point, I never like to vote, but sometimes you have to. Yeah. But usually it's better to come to a consensus.
That's right. If I may add to it, one of the things that we do in public health all the time is before we try to address an issue, data. Let's do this, let's spend 6 months doing the data piece
Anybody have any questions? Oops. Here's some resources that you can go to.
Yeah, I'm going to ask a question on behalf of the group. So once you've talked about the drivers and the bottlenecks, how do you make a determination about where to focus your efforts?
Normally we focus on the ones that have the highest score, strength score, have the most out arrows is really where you begin to focus, because that's the one that's going to drive the system. And sometimes we will go down and take one or two of the, you know, in-between issues if we see a linkage that's going down. Because one of the things this does give you is a linkage. You can start to see where things are linked together. And you might take two of the drivers, one of the bottlenecks, to begin to decide how to do the solution. And that's where we would go to the tree diagram. So if you want to follow us to the next session, we'll show you how to do that. Any questions? Yes.
I have another question. So, in an ideal world, how long should we allot, like, our team to work on these two steps? It seems like it could be, like, a whole day.
Usually, the affinity diagram, if people come prepared, you know, you decide the issue ahead of time, give people post-it notes to go out, usually takes about 3 hours. 3 to 4 hours. The ID graph usually takes a couple of hours. So in a half a day, you know, 3/4 of a day, you get both of those done. I've usually find trying to do more than that in a day, people can't handle it because it's pretty well beaten. Yes?
Do you think it's a good idea to circulate that question, the topic, ahead of time?
Yes.
Or are people more likely to come in with preconceived and unchangeable kind of ideas?
No, what I found in using it, you know, in organizations that I was running, I usually found people started asking other people with inputs, you know, they get broader knowledge on it by having doing it ahead of time and having coming in prepared. Yeah. Yes?
What size of group does this work best with? When is
somewhere between 8 to 12. If you have big groups, you know, if you have to do, we've seen it done, I've done it before, we might have 4 teams and 10 each, you know, because of the size of the organization and the people involved in it, that you can have all 4 teams work on the same issue. And then merge the head of cats together, because more than likely there'll be a lot of commonality. But you know, you can do it that way. But then when you get down to do the ID graph, you've got to bring it down to a manageable group to do that. Yes, Ryan.
So this group had a question, which was, why did you not let them report out?
Which group?
Did.
This group. They did.
Okay.
I thought that was the question.
No, they did. Okay. Any other questions? Yes. We just did it here because we would never get done today. I just give them people a block of post-it notes, come with as many as you want.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, just don't restrict the brainstorming process. What you find is, you know, when you're doing it for real, there's a lot of duplication. And people, we do it then is we have them put the duplicate idea right over the other duplicate idea, and that cuts it down. You know, as long as they're pretty similar. Okay. Well, thank you for attending. Appreciated your time. Effort.